I'll go through very quickly this demonstration so that we know how to do the basic thing here first. So you can all see my screen, I'm assuming. Okay, right? No problem there. I'll switch my camera as well to there. And the very first thing you'll notice is obviously we have a dashboard. This dashboard is something that you get right there. It says Broadcaster Dashboard. That's what you click on, and it takes you to this. Username and password, you log in. This is a dashboard in case you've not seen it. It shows you things like your member ID and your code ID. The member ID is basically something that you chose when you signed up, and you can put it on literature for people to find you, like sermonaudio.com/MISC. That's what it would be, and that would take you to your homepage on Sermon Audio. So that's your member ID. You also use it to log in, etc. The code ID is just something that we invented a few years ago. It's just a 5-digit numerical code, and that allows people to just type in a 5-digit code to get access to your church, your sermons. That became very handy, for example, when we had something like the Amazon Echo, which is a speaker-only device. There's no screen, there's no keyboard or anything. In order for us to be able to have access to a church's sermons, there was no easy way for us to do that other than to assign a 5-digit code to every church. The code can be used anywhere on the site. So if you happen to be on the site itself, you can actually specify a member ID here, or you can specify a code like that. Your overview information here, billing information, top sermons, etc. You have things like the sermon manager. This is on the left side. This whole thing collapses, by the way, in case you need a little bit more screen space. You can just collapse and uncollapse that. Sermon manager, series manager, where you manage your sermon series. You have the webcast manager, which is all things webcasting. Notices. This is probably the easiest way that I know of out there to send a push notification to your congregation. This is not a paid thing. This is not using texting, so there's no fees associated with this. It's simply using a push notification mechanism, and it ties into our church app. We have a church app. They have to install it. It's free, but once they do, you can actually push notices to your congregants using this, and I would encourage you to use it. A lot of people do use it, and on the website, you would actually see it right there where it says notices. And if you click on notices, it'll take you to where people have been using this for their church across the board. These are all the notices for all the churches. And what this is just allows people to send a quick notification. It's not meant to be a blog or anything like that. It's just a quick notification for announcements or things of that nature. And this is just where you can see them all. Notices is very handy. I would encourage you to look into that. The embed editor, of course, all the sermons, all your content can be embedded directly into your own website. No problem there. Whether it's the full browser, the browser meaning this thing up here, a browser like this where you can browse through all of your sermons. So all 646 sermons, you can page through them, you can search, you can filter, you can sort. Then you have things like your billing coins. I'd encourage you to take advantage of this. This is our way of trying to help a broadcaster with their monthly fee. It also helps us because if you refer people, then you actually get $100 in credits. That's basically what these coins are referring to. It's credits. So all you have to do really is just specify the name of the church that you want to refer, their email, and any comment. You hit that button, it sends them an email, nicely formatted email, with a link to sign up for free. And as they sign up and they stay on as a broadcaster, then you can earn coins. They show up in your billing, and it's automatically reduced from your monthly bill. We have connections here. This basically shows you the social platforms that your Sermon Audio account is connected to. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Solo site and analytics for webcasting. I'll go ahead and show you the process of adding a new sermon. You just go to the sermon manager. This is all things your sermons. Click on the create new sermon button. You have the ability to upload audio, video, or PDF. There's a quick and advanced method of uploading. I'll just go ahead and show you the quick one. you can see that's uploading, and of course you can upload an audio separately. While that's going on, you have the ability to type in your sermon details, like the title and the speaker. We'll just go ahead and call this. And by the way, the actual media uploaded, as you can see, it says it's processing the upload. This is our tracker. This is where you can see it in the pipeline on our side. Since the media has uploaded, you can exit this page. This tracker is just there for your own benefit, so you can see where it is in the pipeline. There's our title. This is a best practice. If the title is going a bit long like this, you see that the short title pops up. This thing right here, short title, that pops up when the title gets a little long. So I'll go ahead and make it shorter again. You see how that went away? You really need to stick in a short title. That's why we say recommended. What you need to do is you need to copy this and put a short version of that title. If you don't do that, then all over on your site, you will see a malformed title that just has maybe like that. So half the word will be cut off and whatever. It'll have the ellipsis and the dots, but it'd be better if you provided a proper title. And we use the short title when we just don't have the space to put the whole title in. Of course, the speaker. If you don't have a photo with your speaker, please send it to us. Send it to us, info@sermonaudio or photos@sermonaudio, and we'll get it up there for you. You can select your language. It is important for you to select the proper event category because a lot of people find their materials by the category. So please do select the proper event, even if it's Sunday a.m. or p.m. That's nice to have that distinction just so that people know, oh, that was the evening service. Particularly important if it's a funeral or a wedding, a podcast, Q&A, anything that's children-related, an audiobook. These are the different kinds of content that we have. Maybe you didn't realize you can put up an audiobook. It is highly recommended that you attach a Bible reference to every sermon or every piece of media that you upload because a lot of people search by reference. Try to be specific. Try to get right down to a single verse if possible. That is the way that you will show up in the relevant searches. This is just a test, so I'll just go ahead and remove that for now. But in case you're wondering, you know, I typed in John 3:16 there. But if you're in a different language, if you switch languages here to a different language, these are the ones that we support today. And by the way, we can keep adding to this list if there's a need for it. But if you were to switch to a different language, not only does everything on this page change, all the labels, all the text changes to that language, which is great. But even the Bible references, you can see it in that language. And this is not something that people think about. It took some effort for us to get this working, and so I just wanted to make sure you knew about that. Very nice to have keywords that are relevant. So these are some of the best practices. Be sure to put a Bible reference, event category, have a speaker with a photo. If your photo's not there, please send it to us. Make sure you put in the short title. So the media made it. So here's the media, and it's uploaded, and it's all processed, and you can actually see it here. It all looks good. And what you'll see down here, you can save it as a draft, which is fine. You can just save it just like that. But it doesn't actually show up on the site yet. So if I'm on the site, you'll see it's not actually there yet. And that's because we did not publish it. And so we have a concept of publishing material. You can publish it right away, or you can actually schedule it. This is very helpful for people who have time-sensitive content like radio broadcasts that they want to have scheduled. You can go ahead and check on this copyright box and then hit publish, and that'll put it out there. But I'm also going to include in this demonstration something called cross publication. What it is just a convenience to take the content and post it to different social platforms for you. In the past, some of these churches that are with us, they would go to Facebook and Twitter and whatever and just post it themselves. But we have a way to automate that for you. This needs to have already been connected via the connections. There's a process for you to connect to the various platforms, basically to authenticate Sermon Audio to post on your behalf. Once those are connected, it's a very simple process. You can check that out. Then this will all light up for you. And you don't have to do any of it. You can just, you know, hide it all, which is fine. You don't have to do any of it. But it is nice to be able to upload a preview to YouTube, and you can say this is the title for YouTube, and you can put a proper description and change the visibility of it on YouTube. And what this does is it will basically upload a small little clip of whatever you uploaded. Now, this is, we're talking about video, so this doesn't show up necessarily for audio, but if you have video, it'll upload a small little clip to YouTube. Same thing for Facebook, and same thing for Twitter. It's a very handy feature. It's a very overlooked feature. What it does is it spreads your net. And yes, it is a clip. It's the first 2 minutes of the sermon that we upload, but even that is important the way we see it, because if you go to Twitter, for example, and you view a link on Twitter, this is a link on Twitter. See, it's a static link, and it, sure, it takes you to the sermon. You click on it and it takes you to the sermon, but you know, it's a static link. If you actually upload with our cross publish, what it will do is it will upload a portion of the video itself, so that as you're scrolling through your Twitter feed, it will do this. It will start to play all by itself. You all have seen this, and you probably were wondering how that happens. And the way it happens is that you have to actually upload the media, the content itself, to the platform in order to autoplay. This is not only in the browser, but also on the phone. And why that's important is because when something autoplays, it just slows the user down as they're scrolling through their feed, and they see something start playing that's interesting to them, and so they maybe will click through on the link that we always supply, and they can enjoy the entire sermon. So that's this cross-publish. It's a pretty powerful thing, and I want you to try it. I think that you'll enjoy it. I'm going to go ahead and hit publish. So this one button here does it all. Now everything is going to be pushed out. It's on Sermon Audio now. If you go to Sermon Audio, you'll see it's there, and there's a sermon. By the way, there's no audio with this sermon because I didn't upload audio, but many of you will already know that if you just upload video, we automatically create the MP3 from the video for you. Now, I think we wait about an hour, maybe an hour or two, before we do that to give you a chance to upload your own audio. So that's why sometimes it takes a little bit of time for the audio to appear. But everything on the site, whether it's a video or whether it's a webcast, everything has an audio counterpart. So if you just wait a little bit longer, audio will show up for that. Hitting that publish button, it automatically cross-published, it pushed out now to these platforms. But any questions about that so far? That's very fast. I just wanted to run through how to submit a sermon. So far, so good.
So, Stephen, I do have a question on that cross-publishing.
Yes.
It looks like you say, that gets grayed out as soon as you hit publish. Sometimes we'll upload different media from different computers, depending on what's happening in the sound room on a Sunday. And so what we would have to do is make sure that all of our media, or especially the video, is uploaded before we cross-post, right, or cross-publish. Can't add the video after we publish if we want to be able to cross-publish.
Right. This cross-publish option is tied to the publish button. So if you've already published it, then this will be grayed out. So that part of it is correct. So really, what you need to do is you need to make sure that your media is completely ready, meaning your video, before you cross-publish.
That makes sense. And one thing that we had done also, that where I kind of found this out, was that I would publish the sermon slightly before the actual service started with sermon notes attached as a PDF, just so that people would be able to grab that and follow along. And then I found that I wasn't able to cross-publish
afterwards.
That's
right. Okay, I understand. Yeah,
so
you know what?
We started distributing the notes a different way.
So we do that too, actually, sometimes in our own church, where we'll have a guy in the back. He will publish it out so he doesn't have to remember to do that. He publishes it, and then, of course, you lose the cross-publish because it's all grayed out after that, right?
Right.
Yeah, so I understand that. And unless we were to completely take this cross-publish feature outside of this context, completely take it out and make it its own little thing, almost like a little tool to, you know, cross-publish, there's no other way to do that since it's so tied to our publish concept, you know, publish this sermon.
Right, yeah. And that makes sense. The media is there. You cross-publish, it grabs that media and does the push-out
Mm-hmm.
So I understand how that works. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. And by the way, if you do cross-publish and the video is, let's say you don't have video for it, it still works. It just posts a link to the sermon. It just will not upload the clip. And of course, YouTube wouldn't work because YouTube is just video. But for Facebook and Twitter, you can still use those for sermons without video, just in case anybody's wondering. It doesn't have to be video, but it works very well with video. Okay? Any other questions about that?
At the moment, I'm just uploading video, and I do know that you automatically make an audio file from the video, but it takes an hour or two. It would be good if there's a box you could tick, for instance, to say, do you want to make an audio file ASAP? I would tick that box.
Right. I actually would tend to agree, and this is something that we talked about probably just fairly recently, Bill. You and I talked about this. That makes a lot of sense, and we'll definitely try to implement that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I'm just asking, basically right now we're using Facebook Live, and it seems that we could use sermon audio instead to broadcast on that. And I'm just trying to figure out how that happens.
So what I would show you then is, if I'm still in the dashboard here, you can see my screen still, you would go to the Webcast Manager. In the Webcast Manager, and this is now built into every account. This used to be an extra feature, an extra paid feature. It's now built into every account. And I should add that we don't have any kind of limits. So whether you have 10 people watching or, say, 1,000 people watching, we don't have any kind of limits like that. We don't tier it, the price. If you have a lot more people watching, then somehow you get penalized. So we'd like to try to keep it that way as long as we can. So it's a very simple, flat, easy to predict way of using webcasting. So in this section, you have a stream key. So you just copy that key and you bring it into OBS or any other streaming software or hardware that you're using. And here is the URL that you push the stream to. So these two pieces of information is all you need. We have a convenient way for you to copy some code or a link for people to watch your webcast. So if you copy that and you pull up another window, it just takes you to here. It's just a plain Jane vanilla. It's just a webcast. There's nothing around it. There's no wrappers. There's nothing. It's a very nice way to do that. By the way, this also works. This is a QR code, so you're welcome to copy that, have people scan that, and take them straight to there. And, of course, if you have a website, you can click on the Embed Webcast link, and that takes you to our Embed Editor for the webcast. And there it is. This is what it's going to look like. And you can have things like make sure it auto-plays. Maybe I just want it to be a certain width. Maybe I just want it to be a small little button like this. Maybe I want the button to be tiny, like that. And when you're done with formatting it the way you want, you can hit copy. This is the HTML code that you copy and paste. And here's a blank page. Pretend this is your website. And I happen to have this up, ready for this demonstration. So if this is your website, and I just copy and paste into here, I save it, and I refresh this page, there it is. See? It's offline. And by the way, that will automatically go online when it does go online. If I wanted it to be not a button, but I wanted it to be this, I copy that, go back into here, paste it in there, save it, go back out here and refresh, and there it is. It takes up the whole screen or whatever container it is on the website. So that's Live Embed. And to actually do the webcast itself, you would go to the stream key, which is what you were asking, Daniel. You'd copy that. And this is OBS. This is just a free piece of software, totally free, very robust, very functional, so highly recommended. I happen to have here, in case you're wondering what you're looking at, this is a webcam that I have on my computer, and so that's there. And I can make this any size. I can make it a big window. I can get rid of the background stuff that I have there, so I can just make it that, which is what you would do. But in my case, I was doing some experiments with having like interviews with multiple windows and a little graphic, and you can size these just like that. What you do is you go into settings, on OBS, and you go to the stream, and this is where you put in your stream key. You just paste it in there. I had copied it, and I just pasted it in there. Now, it's not YouTube. It's going to be custom. It's going to ask you for the server. That's where I'm going to copy this guy, and I'm going to copy him. Go back to OBS, go to settings, and Daniel, you're probably familiar with this for Facebook, but instead of going to Facebook, you go to Sermon Audio, and that's it. Well, you would do other things like your output, make sure that the bit rate is proper. You want to stay for preaching. You really don't need to go above 2-3 megabits at the very max. I know it probably sounds very low, but you're talking about a preaching video, which is really just very little movement, and it doesn't need to be a lot. So we recommend something like this. Your audio can be whatever you like, and you hit OK, and let's start streaming. And it's streaming. We are now streaming. And so now if you go back to the webcast manager in a second, you'll see this pop up, hopefully. There it goes. Okay, we received your webcast. It's pending. Please wait. You know, we're firing up some servers and things on our side to handle webcast load, and there we go. The webcast is live. It started this time. Here's the resolution you're pushing out. Here's your bit rate. And we actually show a map, a real-time map of where people are watching from. You can click on this to be able to see the webcast.
Oh, Tony, that's the devil. That's the devil in Creole. And I said, well, why are they saying that? He said,
there you go. And by the way, in case you didn't notice, we
have
video.
Voodoo. They don't know the Lord, and I just...
We also have audio.
People all practice voodoo. They don't know the Lord, and I just, right instantly, I said...
So you have the capability of just tuning in with audio. Why is that important, you might ask? Some people don't want to tie up their cellular data plan with watching video. They just want audio. Or they want to be able to play it and then tuck it into their pocket so they can play it in the background. You can't do that with video normally. So you play audio, you turn off your screen, and it still plays. So having the option to have audio only for webcasting is, in our opinion, a very wonderful and significant feature, which I don't know of any other platform that does that for you. We're just pushing it now from OBS, as you saw, Daniel. I hope that answers your question. It pretty much is... there now, and if you look at our sample web page, you can see if I go back to the embed editor and just do the button only, you can see it turns red. You can show the view count. Nobody's tuned in yet. You can see that and copy that into here. Save that and view that again, and there's your button. Click on that, and it's, and that can go into, obviously, your website. Yeah,
thank
pretty
you.
Straightforward. Yes, pretty straightforward. There are multiple ways to watch a webcast. This is a solo site. Every broadcaster on Sermon Audio gets a standalone website like this, and it allows you to direct people to a website, a complete website that is just your sermons. But if a webcast is playing, it shows up here on the very front page for maximum visibility, which is very nice. It's even playing there as you load the page. But there's down here, you can see various ways that you can tune in. You can tune in with phones and tablets. Here's your church code ID. There it is, right prominently for people to see. Smart TVs. We support all the major ones. And this is the telephone line. This is the listen line. You call this number, and you supply the church code ID, and you can tune in. And by the way, when people tune in, obviously that's audio only, but when you tune in that way, you will see them show up here in the stats as listen line calls. So the stats will show not only a map of the world and where people are watching, but also the listen line, which is, again, something that is very convenient. And, of course, you have your smart speakers, smart watches like Alexa, and so on.
Stephen, can you tell us a little bit about the difference between total viewers and peak viewers? How long do people have to be watching in order to be a total viewer? Because a peak viewer seems to be anybody that logs in any time, and total is...
Right.
Or maybe I have that confused.
Right.
That's always been a little confusing.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Basically, what we wanted to do was we wanted to try to be as transparent as possible with our stats. And what that is, essentially, if you can think of it this way, is the way I like to explain it, is people walking in through a church door, And that's your total viewers, people walking in through the church door. So you just click on it, 1, 2, 3, 4 people walking in. The peak is the peak concurrent. So the maximum number of concurrent viewers who have tuned into this webcast. The important word there is concurrent. So basically, the total is the total number of people who walk through the door of the church. The peak would be the maximum number of people who have been sitting there at any given time. So you can have people coming in and out of your webcast. Like people come in through the doors and then they walk out. But then the peak is the maximum number of people that are sitting there at the same time. So you can have 100 people walk in and out of the door. So that number would be 100. And then the peak concurrent, maybe at any given time, the maximum, there were 30 of them that sat there. There could have been 100 different people walking in and out, but 30 maximum concurrent. I don't know if that helps
okay.
explain that. Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, so that's those are like the ones that stay. But, yeah, somebody could log in at the beginning and then leave, and then somebody else come in later.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of rotating doors on webcasts. You know, people will channel surf, right? They're just clicking on different webcasts. And so we didn't want that to be the only number. The max peak concurrent is also a legitimate number.
Yeah, and that makes more sense. When I tell, like, the pastors at a church, you know, they'll look at the total and I'll see, you know, 300. And I'll say, yeah, but the peak was 240. So I'm saying that 240 people stayed, you know, 300 people saw it, clicked on it, maybe mm-hmm. they left.
Right.
But the people we reached, I'd say was 240.
Right.
But it does tell us that, you know, we had more exposure, so.
That's right, yeah. And I wouldn't discount too much the first number because – just the fact that they click to tune in is, you know, that's becoming a significant thing where people, it takes effort for people to make that decision to, I'm going to click on this to see what this is about. That being able to say that people have tuned in is still a good thing. Now, of course, if you have a very large number of total and then your peak is pretty significantly lower, then essentially what's going on is that people are tuning in, but they're not staying, right? That helps you understand a little bit what those two numbers are.
You're right. It is still exposure, so that's a good thing. It's good to see both numbers.
Right.
Just a matter of, like, gauging actual attendance.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, like, it helps to understand what those numbers mean, for sure. On the point of webcasting, in your analytics, you have an analytics section here, which is I'm very proud of. I hope you all love it. If you use this, it's a very wonderful and easy to use tool. So if we go back to August and we hit apply, you can see this is for all of August. So it's very easy for you to generate your reports. You can not only see it here, total viewers, unique viewers, countries reached, but you can print it as well. And when you print, it produces a really, really nice view. We worked really hard on just making it nice. The cover page is a summary page with nice graphs and things and a map. It shows you a summary. And then, of course, it gets more detailed, the subsequent pages by geography, international ones here. And then, of course, the past webcast is broken down by the webcast session. This is all right there for your taking. So I would encourage you to take a look at it. You can hover over this and see those numbers. You can go over to the international side and see the different countries that they're coming in from.
Can you put your screen up to share the webcast? Copy there. Can I copy to Facebook? Can I share it on Facebook? Is that what
Oh, absolutely. You can click on this button, and it will take you to just a way to post it conveniently to Facebook. That's all it is. It's posting a link. It's not actually webcasting the stream itself. I want to make sure that you don't get confused there. It's posting a link. So people...
Okay, right. I understand. Yeah. Okay, I understand. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Well, that's okay. New. That's something new to me.
Any other questions about this?
Stephen, while we're still on the webcasting, we just had a question about the auto archive.
Yes.
I don't know if you're going to cover that or not.
Just okay, very good.
Touch on that.
Yeah, basically, this is also a new feature. When you webcast, we have the ability now to archive a previous webcast. So that would be down here. So you scroll down a little bit further, and you can see the recent webcasts. and you can create a sermon from this webcast. So if you do that, it will take the webcast that you previously pushed out, and it will create a sermon from it. And you can do things like trim, you can fade, you can select a thumbnail.
Daniel, did you have a question?
Because we actually do the video recording in a lot bigger bitrate, so I end up with a 5 meg file for video,
five
and then
gig.
Put it into MovAV, do a lot of adjusting, cut it down to about 1 meg, then upload it.
Mm-hmm.
This would make it much, much quicker, I would have thought.
Well, it would, but I want to encourage you not to be recording on your side just because we have this feature. There's a couple of reasons for that, where we encourage people to still record on their local computer, and that's because if you have any kind of connection problems to our servers during the webcast, you're going to have problems with the archive here. In fact, that's what we say. It says the connection here was interrupted during the webcast. This may cause audio and video sync issues. So we're just putting a warning there that if we detect that there were some connection issues, then that could affect the quality of your archive, which would not be good. So always keep a local copy in case you have to upload it for yourself. This is just meant to be a convenience for people who really can't conveniently save their own videos locally. Like, for example, if you're using a device like this. This is a Blackmagic. It's called the A10 Mini Pro. You can see that up there. And what this does is it's this little piece of hardware that will stream out for you. My point is that there's no easy way then to record it and to upload it from the device. It's just a streaming device. It's a multi-camera switcher, but it's a streaming device. But because we have the archiving feature on Sermon Audio, it allows you to go in here and create that archive. And so it's a convenience. Does that answer the question about the archiving?
I did do a chat one there just to ask. I think a lot of people just put the video of the sermon itself on. We tend to put the whole service,
okay,
and then just the audio for the sermon. But I'm not sure what the usual way of doing things is.
Well, we actually recommend that you just upload the sermon. We don't usually recommend uploading the entire service, and that's for the sake of the general audience who just use Sermon Audio to consume lots of sermons. They like to just get to the sermon. I think that that would be better. Now, I have no issue if you upload a portion of the service, like maybe the last few stanzas of the hymn, before you get into the actual sermon. But it's better to upload the generally just the sermon part, even for video. But I should note before I get off of this point about archiving that we don't keep these archives around forever. You see how it says expires in 14 days and 8 days. We just can't keep it around forever. So if it doesn't look like anything is happening with these archives, you will lose them. So you should know about that.
There was one question about video upload. What we recommend for the size of the video that is uploaded. I didn't know if you wanted to touch on that real briefly or not.
Uploading your videos at 1080p at 8 megabits per second, 128K audio should be great. 30 frames per second, no need to go anything higher than that. But 1080p will work just fine. For webcasting, we definitely want you to stay around 3 megabits, 2 megabits for the stream. 1080p is fine, and the audio can be 128 kilobits. Let's see if the cross-publish made it, by the way. There it is. There's that. There's a YouTube. It made it. Let's see if Facebook made it. There's Facebook. And see how it autoplays, and that's the point. It autoplays. And here's Twitter. And there it is on Twitter. So that's cross-publish. And by the way, because it is a two-minute clip, we actually have this little trailer at the end, encouraging people to watch the full sermon. It says, watch the full sermon, and you can click on that and it takes them to the sermon. But the point of the clip itself is just so that the autoplay kicks in for the feed. Hope it was helpful. I really do. And thank you all for coming. Unless you have anything else, feel free to email us, but appreciate it very much.
Thanks.
Thank you very, very much.
Bye-bye. Bye.